My sermon title this morning is called The Mystery of God. Oh, there's a box here. What is that box doing there? I wonder what that's all about. It's a mystery. Indeed, it is. It could be Saul. What's going on? There's a lock on it. Oh, look. It's unlocked. I wonder what's in it. Gold? I wish. Gold. That's pretty impressive. I don't have a lot of gold. A treasure chest. I'm that excited, I don't know what to do. I'm quivering. Should I? I don't know if I should open it. You want to see what it is? Can we wait till after? You want to do it? Me too. I do. I tell you what, we're going to wait after and see what's in here. You want to look in it after? Oh, you're my friend for this morning. I like this. Actually, you know what? There's a lot of mysteries in this world. There's a lot of things that we can't explain, even describe with our natural tongue. Our words are limited to describe certain mysteries. Let's see. UFOs. Have you ever seen a UFO? An unidentified flying object? No, I can't say. Well, I've probably see that? I think he has. Have you ever heard about the Loch Ness Monster? Nessie. A mystery. Is there something in that Scottish loch? I don't know. Here in Ontario, in British Columbia, the Sasquatch. What's a Sasquatch? It's a mystery. A lot of people have questions. Questions that are unanswered. My wife enjoys reading mystery novels. She loves the murder mysteries on TV. Things like true crimes, murder mysteries, Dateline, unsolved mysteries. Back in my day, it was the Hardy Boys. Can you remember the novels, the Hardy Boys, they used to have in school? And for the girls, it was Nancy Drew. A lot of these mysteries just gripped us, kept us excited about what's happening, what could possibly be. There are so many things. You know, there are a lot of people in this world who are searching for answers to mysteries, to questions. Questions like, who am I? Why am I here? What is the purpose of life? What is it all about? Scientists grapple with these mysteries, the complexities of space, of time, and of matter. They try to explain the origin of material, the disciplines of physics and mathematics and psychology are all trying to find answers to various mysteries. The things that they see and can't explain, or the things that they can't see and still can't explain. Billions of dollars and countless hours have been invested to try to find some of these answers. To some, success, and to others, not. But you know what? We here in the church, who are sitting here now, have some answers to who am I? Why are we here? Colossians 1 and 16 reads, "For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him." Knowing the who helps us to understand the why. God created for him. And yet billions of dollars are spent and millions of hours are spent on trying to discover this simple truth. We here know it already. Now, I must make a distinction between the mysteries of God and the mystery of God. A mystery, when I looked up in the dictionary, the mystery of God, it said basically truths that are hidden from the natural sense. So things that we can't understand through our own senses, per se, they're hidden. For example, here, theologically, in our Christian walk, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. That's a difficult one to comprehend. Three in one God. There have been great conferences and schisms in the church because of this concept. It's a very big concept. How about creation itself? Think about color. We only see in a certain spectrum of color in the electromagnetic field. Certain animals can see greater colors, monochromatic colors and so forth, but we are limited. It's a mystery of creation. We marvel at the magnitude of God's grace that a sinner such as me and a sinner such as you, God loved us and still died for us. It's wonderful. Miracles, think about the miracles of healing that we read in the Bible, the blind man being healed to see again, the crippled man being able to walk. The suspension of the natural and the intervention of the supernatural in order to see these wonderful miracles and see the glory of God. You know, these are mysterious things. These are wondrous things, amazing things, majestic things. And we could only explain them through God. God who is all. Now, I'll make a personal confession. And I'm sure you can make the same confession. I cannot fathom the depth and breadth of God's majesty. I can't understand and fathom the depth and breadth, the totality of who God is. He's far, far above. We were created a little bit below the heavenly creation. And, you know, there's a lot of thoughts and questions we have pertaining to that. Nor, I confess, to understand God's mysterious ways. You know, this past year, this past 2 years of my life, the things that have happened to me here, home, domestically, and abroad in Ukraine, I could only chalk up to God's mysterious ways. God works mysteriously for His glory, for His will. And, you know, I'm blessed that I'm in His will, and that these mysteries are there for me because I know that God is close. This is a big thing. And we put it in perspective of God is God. God calls Himself I Am. And the I Am is pretty all-inclusive. I am, well, what is He? I am everything. I'm everything to you. I'm all things to humanity. God reveals a little bit of Himself in Job's lament. I'm going to be reading from Job 38, 4 and 11. And He reveals a little bit about the magnitude and magnificence of who He is. And I read Job 38, 4 and 11. And He's talking to Job. Job is having this hard time. He's down and out. Like, he's questioning. He's, you know, he's making a few comments about God. But God says, hey, Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me. If you have understanding, who determined the measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, all of the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut in the sea with doors? When it burst forth and issued from the womb. When I made the clouds its garments and thick darkness its swallowing bands. When I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors. When I said, this far you may come, but no farther. And here your proud waves must stop. Job, where were you when I created the creation of the world? Where were you when the expanse of the universe was put forth and the stars were put in its place? Man, it shows the magnificence of God and yet how lowly man is compared to the glory of God and the greatness of God. It tells us that we've got a lot to learn and there's a lot of things we're not going to understand because we don't have the capacity to understand the mystery of God. The Apostle Paul references mystery 21 times in his writings. Every time he used the word mystery, it was in context to a great declaration of truth, some spiritual truth. In Colossians 1, 25 and 26, Paul reveals a great mystery when he said that he had been commissioned to preach the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that had been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. There's a big mystery in that box. There's something there. I don't know what it is, but sooner or later, you know, I've got to open it up and have a peek. Whoa. It's not gold. Not yet, but soon. You're excited, aren't you? But I tell you, what's in this box is absolutely amazing. There's something that's very important in this box that I'm going to share, not only to you, I'm going to share to everybody. Everybody. Paul tells us that there is good news. And let me tell you that the good news is revealed in his son, Jesus Christ. We here in the church know that there is good news. There's good news. That Jesus Christ died for our sins. That he loved us so much that regardless of what you've done, and you've done a lot of bad things, regardless of all that, he loves you and he cared for you. That he was willing to come from his spiritual form, his heavenly form, in the form of man, imperfect man. We die, we get sick, we get broken, that you may have life eternal with him. Your sins forgiven, cast from the east to the west. Ephesians 1, 7 and 10 reads, in him we have redemption through his blood for forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. The mystery is that he loved us. The mystery is that he came to save us. The kingdom of God had long prophesied about this great mystery, about this hidden mystery, but it had not said to who and when. But we know that the angels certainly informed Mary and the shepherds around that when Jesus came, he was Emmanuel, God with us. The mystery that was hidden was now revealed in the form of a little baby. And that baby would grow and grow and come to preach the word of God and preach the good news that there's hope. There's hope in him. That there's life in him. There's freedom in him. There's deliverance in him. The mystery was no longer veiled, it was unveiled. Christ is the mystery. We are the recipients. There is no understanding of God apart from personal relationship with him. And we learned the mystery of God through our faith. Without faith, we are lost. Without the Holy Spirit building up the faith within us, we are lost. We do not live to our full potential in understanding the mystery of God. The key to having the full riches, its complete understanding, is to be born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit ministers to us, revealing to us the mysteries and the deep things of God. I'd like to read to you Corinthians 2, 7 and 10. It reads, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. None of them knew back then. For had they known, they would have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered into the hearts of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And we can learn about God, the deep things of him, the relationship that we have him through the Holy Spirit. We are not just an empty bucket. The Holy Spirit starts to pour into us the wisdom and the knowledge and the things as we grow and mature in Him. Like the tree, the fruits of the Spirit, they grow to blossom into beautiful fruits that nourish and encourage and help us to grow. God's will is not for you to be perplexed. Some of you here may be thinking, well, you know, what's my purpose in life? What's my calling? What's my mission? What's it all about? That's not God's will for you to be perplexed or confused. He's got answers for you. The search may be real, but the answers are just as real and they're concrete and they're spiritual. God reveals the mystery to those who come to Him through faith and who accept Him. In fact, in John 16 and 13, we read this. God provides us with a very important timbit of spiritual truth. He says, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Not just some truth. He will guide you into all truth. Now, that's a great hope there. He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit will reveal all truth to you. He opens the minds of all who search, who seek Him, so that we can see by faith and not by sight. See, a lot of us, I'm guilty of it. Sometimes I got to see it to believe it. Right? How many times have you said that? Man, I got to see it to believe it. But faith is a deeper understanding of the spiritual ways. Faith is the way to go. Therefore, think about this. If that box is open, it's a mystery. You have a choice. You can sit there, not look into the box, wonder what's in the box, let your mind come up with all kinds of solutions or scenarios what's in the box, or you could come up and take a look, see what's in the box. It's a choice we all have. You know, if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, so faith is not opposed to reason. It's not opposed to action. Right? Just because you have faith doesn't mean that you don't have to, you know, research and stuff like that. You know, research and studying the Bible develops that faith even more. And action can go a long way too as well. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 6 tells us that the gospel was veiled and there are people who are foolish enough that would not accept the unveiling of the gospel. There are people out there are perishing because they have not looked into the mystery of Jesus Christ. They have not asked questions about Him. And as a result, they will perish. They will die. We will spend eternity in hell. It's a harsh reality, but that's the reality of the gospel. God loved us, that if we believe in Him, we have everlasting life. But if we reject Him and don't, you know, accept Him and learn about Him and live His ways, live a holy life, that kind of stuff, you're going to die. And that's a sad, sad reality. Because the mystery of God and His love has been revealed. It's not lost. It's most unfortunate. In knowing the mystery of Jesus Christ, we have certain responsibilities. We have certain responsibilities. And once again, there's many people, I've talked to them, I'm sure you've talked to them, I wonder what I could do for the church, the larger body of the church, not just the local church, the things you could do in this church as well, Pembroke Pentecostal Tabernacle. But what can I do for the gospel? What can I do for the church? The Bible tells us we're commissioned to preach the gospel, to share His light, to be salt of the world. Well, we can live for God. And we could do things for God by sharing His gospel. We live in the full knowledge of the mystery of God revealed in the person of Christ. We allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. We share the love of Christ for other people. The majesty and the authority and power of God remains all. It's set in His place. We've got to reveal that to other people. we're still looking and still sombering out there with the unknown. We don't have to fear. We don't have to worry when we live this life. God is all-powerful. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. You know, you take those three, all-powerful, all-present, all-knowing. You take those three. Wow. Wow. We can let other people know that. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fear, no matter what happens to you in the day, why things happen to you in the day. That can be very heartbreaking. That could be stressful and anxiety. You know, God knows it's happening to you. He knows why it's happening to you. And He knows what's going to happen. And we could trust Him in these situations. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fret. We don't have to stress. God is in control. Almost every sermon I preach, I say this little verse. This is the day the Lord has made. You know the end of it? I will rejoice and be glad in it. There's a big mystery in that too. This is the day the Lord has made. God is in control. Because He's in control, we don't have to fear, we don't have to worry, but we could be glad, we could be have peace and comfort knowing that God is in control. He's our God after all. He's our Father. There's no mystery in that. That mystery has been revealed. While there are many mysteries that perplex us, this mystery of Jesus Christ is no longer a mystery. He is God revealed to us. We need not waste our time. We need not search for answers of who we are. We're God's children. We are the redeemed. God is our Father. Jesus Christ is our advocate. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. We don't need to waste time on searching for who we are. But we are the redeemed. Hallelujah. That's a blessing there. Why am I here? For all things were created through Him, for Him. We're here for God, to honor Him, to praise Him, to serve Him, to be obedient to Him, to live freely in Him and through Him, enjoy life and His majesty. His majesty. It is important to share this mystery, or the mystery that is now revealed, so that others may come to enjoy His presence and His relationship and experience eternal life with Him. I wonder what, when we pass from this earth, I wonder what it's going to be like. We're given a few little timbits and clues of our life in the new Jerusalem and the new heaven and the new earth and the millennial reign. But you know, there's going to be a lot of things that we're going to be like, wow, I had no idea. I had no idea. There's still mysteries to be discovered and to learn and to experience. But the mystery of Jesus Christ, His love, His grace, His mercy for a fallen humanity is now revealed. There's hope. There's hope in this. Knowledge of Christ brings deliverance, freedom, power, hope, peace, and joy. Peace and joy. And we can rest in that. The mystery is great. You know what? I'm going to stop there. This is the shortest message I've ever preached. 23 message. But we're not in. We're not ended yet. I've got something in this box that I got to show somebody. Just look down. Just look down. Pretty cool. Yeah. Do you think this crowd down here want to see what this mystery is? Yeah. Think I should give them an invitation to come up and take a look at it if they want to? High five. Thanks, bud. Ladies and gentlemen, if you like to see this mystery, when the service is over, you are invited to come up and take a look into what this young fellow has seen. I can tell you, what's in that box is pretty amazing. I'm telling you, it's pretty amazing. For a kid, for a middle-aged individual like myself, and for the older. And I want to leave you with a prayer. And this is the prayer. My Heavenly Father, may this congregation here now, of Pembroke Pentecostal Church, those who have come into this congregation, whether they are part of the member of the church or just coming to visit or for those individuals who are viewing this through video feed, Lord, may your presence be revealed to them. May they experience your Holy Spirit in their lives. May the Spirit speak to them. May the Spirit move them to come to you, to be drawn to you, and to learn about you, about your mystery, your majesty, who Jesus Christ is, your Son. Lord, that they will come to understand that they are loved, that we are loved by you, that you loved us so greatly and so wonderfully, that you made a plan that we can be forgiven because we failed. Lord, I pray that as people come up and look in this box and see probably a truth that they already understand and know and come to accept, Lord, that they will be moved to have a renewal within their spirit again this morning. This morning, every day, that they have a renewal in their spirit to serve you and to love you and to do what they need to do to just honor and worship you. Father, every day we need you. Every day we fall. Every day we need you. We need your guidance. We need your care. We need to feel you. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, into our lives. We welcome you, Jesus Christ, into our lives. Father, we welcome you into our lives. God, we welcome you into our lives. Mold us, transform us, change us into the vessel you would have us to be. Set us forward into the kingdom of God, sharing the good news of the gospel to those who are living in the dark. There are people around us, Lord, that don't know you, and we have a responsibility to share. So, Father, just take us and do with us as you would will. In Christ's name we pray, your Son. Amen. As the congregation, as Mary Lynn finishes off with a chorus and so forth, I invite you, don't be shy. Being shy doesn't solve anything. Be bold in the Spirit. Take some time as you're about to leave. Take a look. Take a look. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.